Just Energy with naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise. We have learned from Einstein's theories that matter and energy are one. Physicists believe that all systems in nature have their own particular way of vibrating. From the swing of a pendulum to the waves in the ocean to the light that brightens the sky each day, each of these oscillates at its own unique rate. In the same way, things such as rocks and minerals vibrate very slowly and at speeds that are imperceptible to us. Living things such as plants, animals, and man vibrate faster and appear to be alive. The same holds true for every thought, feeling, event, or word we speak. Each has its own frequency or rate of vibration. What many of us don't realize is if we take everything in our own universe down to its simplest form, it is all just energy. Join Dr. Rita as she explores questions such as, what are we made of? Why do we get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? Call in and talk to her and her thought-provoking guests. Send us your questions and get the help you need to move beyond any obstacles or challenges that may be affecting your life, right from the source. So stay tuned and explore your possibility.
Hello and welcome to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise. Thank you all for tuning into the show today. I hope you've been having a great week, and with the weekend just ahead, I hope you have a wonderful and blessed weekend. So, ding, 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 we had a winner for our mind yoga question of the week, but we will announce the winner later on in the show, and then even later in the show, we will ask a new mind yoga question to stretch those brain cells and see if you've got what it takes to master the yoga. The winner this coming week, okay, last week the person won the book A Course in Happiness by Marty Horowitz. Next week the winner will win a copy of The Magician's Way, What It Really Takes to Find Your Treasure by William Whitecloud. Very cool book. Anyway, so we'll be doing that later on in the show. I'll announce the question, the winner. We'll have a new question. And again, let me just remind everyone that's listening, if you want to enter the contest, all you need to do is send an email to justenergyradio@yahoo.com, and everyone that enters is eligible to win a free psychic reading from the students at the Institute of Applied Energetics, and that you don't even have to know the right answer. You just have to enter to win. It's kind of like the lottery. All you have to enter to win, but you only have a chance to win. Anyway, so today, oh my God, extra super cool show today. And of course, I don't have the right screen open. Here we go. So today, we have two wonderful guests. In the first hour, a very good friend to the show, Barbara Han Clow, is going to be talking about her book, The Alchemy of the Nine Dimensions, and these are the nine dimensions of human consciousness. Very interesting topic, and I'm even going to admit this on the air. It was kind of a little over my head in parts, which doesn't happen very often. So we're going to get her to clear that all up. And in the second hour, we have Susan Northrup talking about mediumship, creating connections to the dead. Dun, 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 to the dead people. That's what she calls them, dead people. Made me laugh. Anyway, let me tell you a little bit about Barbara, and we'll get her on the air, and we're going to start talking about the different levels of consciousness. Barbara Han Clow has been teaching the critical importance of time acceleration and the Mayan calendar since May of 2005. Barbara is the author of 11 books on the transformation of consciousness. Her best-selling book, The Palladian Agenda, A New Cosmology for the Age of Light, has sold over 100,000 copies, and her two latest book, The Mind Chronicles, Visionary Guide to Past Lives and the Mayan Code, Time Acceleration and the Awakening of the World Mind. She is the former editor for Bear & Company Publishing in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So please welcome to Just Energy Radio from HanCloud2012.com, Barbara Han Clow. Hey, Barbara, how are you?
I'm great, Rita Louise. How are you?
I am wonderful. It is just so nice to have you back on your on the show. You always share such wonderful information with the listeners that it's always a treat.
Well, thank you.
So you probably heard the intro and me saying that I got a little confused with this book. Mm-hmm. You know, what's it all about?
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Did you get confused by the lower dimensions, the first 1 through 4, or the 5 higher dimensions, 5 through 9?
I started getting lost around 6.
Round 6, okay. That's what I needed to know, because people will either have difficulty with the higher or lower dimensions. When people aren't very grounded, they have a lot of stress with the first 4 dimensions, especially in a workshop. And one of the great advantages of this work is that it grounds people who tend to be really in spacey areas a lot. Then if you're having a struggle with the higher dimensions, it's just simply an issue of integrating extremely high-frequency information. And then another kind of interesting little factor with this book is that the 5th dimension is the realm of the heart, the realm of unconditional love. And there's a whole lot of people out there who don't really need to go beyond the heart and unconditional love. One of the things I said in the book itself was that I had a struggle going beyond describing the 5th dimension, because in a sense that those first 5 dimensions are it, especially the opening of the heart. And the other upper dimensions have to do with philosophical issues and high consciousness issues that have been very much important to Western cultures, not particularly important to Eastern cultures. So sometimes in our workshops, Jerry and I find that people have a struggle with those higher dimensions because they tend to have a very strongly Eastern orientation. And sometimes people who are like that come to our workshops and leave with a more profound understanding of Western culture and Western consciousness, even though it may not be that important for them. At least you sort of understand both sides of the world, you know. Like I did my master's with Matthew Fox in creation-centered spirituality, where Matthew Fox's main objective was to get Westerners to understand Easterners and Easterners to understand Westerners. And this book comes very much out of that issue.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the people that are listening that don't know you and kind of know where you come from, I just don't even want to give everything away. Could you just kind of spend a couple of seconds kind of talking a little bit about your background and where a lot of this information came from?
Yeah, and I think
that's the fascinating part.
Yeah, I think the important background here, like I have all the credentials and I was a publisher and blah, 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 but I think the important background for this book is that it initially came out of channeled material. And what happened was in 1994 and early 1995, I was just seized with an incredible vision. And I described that, of course, especially at the beginning of Alchemy. And so what I did with that vision, it was so cosmological and so holistic and so huge that I did 18 channeled sessions that were about 3 hours long. And then those sessions were transcribed into type. And then I took those 18 sessions, type sessions, and I made it into a book, which was called The Pleiadian Agenda, A New Cosmology for the Age of Light. So to help you a little bit with your response to Alchemy, what happened for me and then for my husband, Jerry, Jerry joined on with me really quickly when I started teaching this material. Now, what this material involves from the channeled Pleiadian Agenda is 9 dimensions of consciousness, and the Pleiadians say that all humans can access all 9 dimensions, and most importantly, they say that our reality, the Earth, is going to become 9-dimensional at the end of the Mayan calendar, and so they're saying it's like really important for us to understand this material because of coming to the end of the Mayan calendar. Okay, so where I was back in 1994-95 was I had just finished channeling and organizing and publishing a book, and I only understood half of it. And it's interesting to me that you say where you started to have trouble was in the 6th dimension, because when the book was done and I had to go out and teach it, I only understood the first five, and I didn't understand the sixth through the ninth dimension either. And I honestly didn't. And so I spent 10 years with Jerry. One of the reasons I pulled Jerry into it right away, Jerry is a cranial sacral therapist and a polarity therapist. So Jerry is body, and he's been my husband for 37 years, so it's fun for us. So he's body, and I'm mind. And so when I started teaching the Alchemy of Nine Dimensions back in 1995-96, people started passing out in the audience.
Oops.
Now, I've never had this happen before. One guy almost got a concussion. So at that point, I pulled Jerry in, and then for 15 years, Jerry has been heading up a team of healers so that when we teach this material, we always have one healer for every 10 students. In other words, this material is so juicy that we actually have to protect people at that level, which of course, is what we've been doing. So then what happened is I taught it for 10, 12, 13 years, and then by 2004, I finally understood the upper dimensions, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And so I wrote Alchemy of Nine Dimensions as a scientific analysis of a channeled book. And I think this is probably the only time this has ever occurred in human history, possibly. But the problem with the book in 2004 is I still didn't understand the ninth dimension. And the ninth dimension is the Mayan calendar. So now this new edition has come out because I've been able to integrate the calendar information into it. So that might give you a little bit of an understanding of, like, how you respond to the book. And then, of course, I can go ahead and explain what each one of the dimensions is. And most importantly, I think for you, Rita Louise, would be, okay, that's what the dimension is, but what does it do for me? I really think that's the central issue. What's the point of this, and what does it do for anybody? That's kind of where
Let's come back to that question, you know, because that's a great question. But I have one that I wanted to ask prior to moving more specifically in the material.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I have that kind of sick scientific mind. And why nine dimensions and not like seven, you know, like seven chakras, 777, or even they talk about 11 dimensions in string theory? How did it end up with nine?
Okay. Well, first of all, that was the information from the Pleiadians, and more importantly, though, they were adamant about how nine dimensions is what's coming into the field, and that's what we need to be concerned about accessing now. So, of course, I just followed that. But then I was also concerned about string theory, because with super string theory coming from Witten, there are 11 dimensions. And by the way, Witten wrote the formulas for superstring theory during exactly the same 5 months I channeled this book. Now, I find that really interesting. And so I looked deeply into that, and I can't remember, it's chapter 6 or 7, in the 6th or 7th dimension, I have a whole superstring theory model. And one of the things that goes on with superstring theory is my model actually has 11 dimensions. And the reason it does is the first nine represent these nine levels. The tenth is the container for all of these levels. And then the 11th dimension is the vertical axis, which is the activation of all nine dimensions simultaneously. So what I did in the book was I attempted to make a comparison to my theory, the Pleiadian hypothesis or theory, whatever, with Witten's theory, because I think they're very, very close as far as I can tell.
And that makes sense. One of the things that I was going, well, maybe there's something with an observer, but that would just be one. You know, it wouldn't be two extra people, unless they were having a little party or something.
And if we can crack a joke, speaking of how funny it was going out and teaching a book
that
I didn't understand myself, because I've got 11 or 12 books, I understand it, but I didn't understand this. So I went out to teach it in the fall of 1995. And I was teaching someplace in California, and this really burly physicist showed up. The guy looked like a great big Russian bear. He had a gigantic beard and all that. And he came up to the table where I was signing books afterwards, and he reached out for my hand. So I very tentatively put my hand out. Okay, that's fine. And he looked at me. He gave me this piercing look as he was holding my hand, and he said, "Barbara, everything is frequency." Well, I thought he was trying to seduce me because I didn't know what frequencies were. I honestly did not know back in 1995 about the Hertz frequency issue and all of that stuff. That's how ignorant I was when I first started teaching this. I was scared to death, like, oh, my God. At least there were a lot of people around. He was a big one, you know.
Like, so don't ask any questions. I don't know anything.
But it's like somebody coming up to you, grabbing your hand and saying, Rita, everything is energy. At least you know what energy is, okay? I sure didn't know what frequencies were. It's funny to think about it.
That is funny.
So this book put me on a major learning curve. In other words, as I taught it for 12 years, I was also studying all the sciences that came through from the Pleiadians. And so one of the more interesting things about the book is the Pleiadians are saying that there is a science for each one of these dimensions, which I think is an absolutely fascinating idea. And so then I went ahead and explained that as best as I could.
So why is this work important, or maybe the better question or a combination question is, how can we use this information to help us into the 2012 transition?
Okay. Well, the assumption, if the Pleiadians are right, would be that this field of consciousness that I'm describing here is actually just going to flood the planet with frequencies. In other words, there's going to be such a major opening that, as far as I can tell from what I'm teaching, if people have a better ability to discriminate what one thing might be from another, they're probably going to handle it better. And examples of that are, like, really simple. For example, the first dimension is the iron core crystal in the center of our planet. And it has the Akashic Records, which is the records of all time, in it. And so when we tune into the first dimension, we can tune in to the Akashic Records, which, needless to say, is obviously a useful skill. Then when we get into the second dimension, which is between the iron core crystal and the surface of the planet, we're into the elemental telluric realm. We're into a very, very active chemical, microbial realm of consciousness. And when we get in touch with that realm, we actually are capable of having perfect health. And also the Pleiadians are saying there are major issues on this planet about penetrating the second dimension. So we're getting an incredible lesson about that right now with the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. In other words, the Pleiadians were adamant about humans better watch it, getting too deeply into that dimension unless they know what they're doing. Then when we get into the third dimension, we're just into linear space and time, the now. And according to the Pleiadians, being located in the directions and being conscious at an astrological level and a seasonal level is actually very important for humans. Then once we go beyond these three dimensions, then we start to get into the complexity. Like, the fourth dimension is the collective mind. It's a realm of thoughts and feelings that we're all plugged into. And so if the Pleiadians are right about all of these dimensions, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth dimension, are actually going to really penetrate our reality, then as this is happening, understanding one field and understanding, like, what that field is and how it assists us in our living is a pretty critical issue. After teaching it for 15 years, I've actually come to the point where I think it's extremely critical. I didn't start out that way, but that's where I am now.
Well, I think everything is just moving so fast, you know, whether it's our own personal life or everything else on the planet, you know, I mean, it just boggles my mind how much change happens every day.
Yeah, and this month, by the way, was especially intense. The Aries lunar cycle, which ended yesterday because the Taurus new moon came in, but during the Aries new moon, I've never seen such fast acceleration of time. And I've been living with this other model, which is the issue of time acceleration. And April, you know, the Aries new moon period up until yesterday was just going so fast that it was just mind-boggling. You know, going from the explosion of the volcano and more earthquakes and the oil spill. You know, first the volcano blew up and then the oil started seeping into the ocean. It's just amazing.
But you know, that answers my question. This past week, I swear to God, I did not know what day it was.
Yeah,
I kept going,
that.
It's Thursday. It's Monday. No, when did I do that? That one's yesterday? No, Monday. I mean, I was so freaking confused. It wasn't even funny.
Yeah, and normally you're not like that, I'm sure, you know.
But
and
today, I was like, it all changed.
Yeah, it's
and I knew it was going to change after Thursday.
Yeah, the Taurus new moon was 5. I don't know where your Central Standard Time, so 7 p.m. and you're here, 7 or 8, and it was 6 o'clock here, and it was palpable when the new moon came in. There was a peace and a calm that came in, and I hate to tell you this, but that's going to last for a couple more days. It's going to speed up again because starting around May 17th, there's going to be a series of aspects to the new moon day after day after day, quickening the energy again. There's no way that this is going to let, you know, is going to quiet down that much in the near term, I'm sure.
One of the things that I'm really grateful about, you know, in a masochistic kind of way, is that there has been so much stuff happening over the last few years. You know, as I like to say, you know, we've gotten our little butts kicked over and over again, you know, either personally or collectively as a society, that we're kind of getting used to all this shifting and all this changing, even though on a internal level we might be going, God, what day is this?
Yeah, I agree. So the idea here would be that somehow working with these nine dimensions of consciousness would actually start to reorient us. I would say the idea would be it's going to start to reorient us in a new way. In other words, we, as you know from previous shows, we've talked about the national underworld and planetary underworld and all of the clearance that we're experiencing right now regarding old ways of doing things. And I think you and I are pretty comfortable with the idea that we are really transmuting and transforming the basic structures in our society. But what you have to ask yourself is, well, okay, fine, but then what's going to happen? And as I've worked with this model, I've begun to realize that there's a lot of keys in this actual nine-dimensional model, kind of some visionary keys for what might be coming next. And that's been a revelation to me only this year. I don't have a lot of ego about my work, and I didn't go around 15 years ago saying, hey, this is the most important system that has ever been invented by any spiritual teacher. You know, I'm just not like that. But I'm beginning to see the wisdom and the knowledge that lies within this system. The system, in a sense, is a very futuristic model of the human. And yet, the interesting thing about it is that, as far as I can tell, we used to have this kind of consciousness more than 12,000 years ago. And in other words, this model also represents a form of consciousness that I think we've already had on this planet and that I think we lost around 12,000 years ago. And as you know, my idea is that the great cataclysms, 11 or 12,000 years ago, kind of knocked us back into a regression. And so I think we're actually waking up to something that we knew before. And I just think it's hard to wake up.
Well, as they say, it knocked us back into the Stone Age, literally.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And, for example, you started having trouble at the sixth dimension, okay? Well, if we back up a little bit, the first dimension is the iron core crystal. The second dimension is the elemental telluric realm in the Earth. And then the third dimension is our dimension. And then the fourth dimension is the collective mind and all of the dark and light that we all participate in. Then when we get to the fifth dimension, the heart opens. So then, as I said, that's enough from one point of view. But when you go to the sixth dimension, what you start to get into is sacred geometry and a world of forms and ideals that makes our reality replicate down here. And so when you start to trip out in that stuff, like, for example, think of Iranian and Muslim Islamic geometrical art, like in the sacred sites and stuff like that, that incredible geometry. And what happens with geometry and with crop circles, too, is the sixth dimension actually starts to take us into some amazing visionary trips. And what happens, okay, you could say, okay, well, why not just take acid, you know? But the question would be, what's the use of that? Well, the more you hang out in that world, the more you start to understand the ideal reality that we could create here. And the more that we get more and more and more people looking for the ideal reality instead of the current reality, that's the only way that we're going to get there. That's the only way we're going to transform beyond these restrictive structures that are blocking us at this point. So one of the reasons for more and more people to move into these zones is this is the zone where you get the real creative ideas about the potential that we all have.
And I think one of the big things, this just sounds really awful, but is that the government really keeps us from being able to go there.
Yeah, and that's where understanding the
force. You know, or the government is not going there, and so if we're going to go there, it needs to be individuals or, you know, grassroots movements or whatever to take us to those places.
Well, let's change that around a little bit to the possibility. Let's change government to the idea of the global elite. The government is just a bunch of functionaries who are getting their salary and playing by the rules. But behind all of that are the global elite control patterns that operate through government, banking, and you know what I'm talking about. And mm-hmm. I think when it comes to those guys, I think they're playing with these levels of reality all the time because these realities are extremely creative and very powerful. And I think that most of what they do is they try to get us to not figure this out. I really think that's true.
You really think they're that smart?
Yes, I do.
I mean, money-grubbing, greedy, manipulative, yes.
Well, remember, you know how it operates by a pyramid. You know how all those systems, David Icke did such a good job showing how everything's working through a pyramid model, and it's only the ones at the very top who know what's going on. And I think the ones mm-hmm. at the very top are a bunch of magicians who know exactly what's going on, and I also think they know all about the Mayan calendar. And I think that one of the reasons reality is so tough right now is that we're right on the verge of breaking through to the next level. And the powers that be, the global elite controllers, they don't want us to break through because if they do, they can't control us anymore. So I think that's why this is just so tough right now. But I really think we're going to make it. And the issue would be, when do these nine dimensions actually start to really come on strongly? Well, I used to think the end of the Mayan calendar was 2012, which is what we were all working with for so many years. But in 2005, I shifted over to Carl Kalman's model. And so the idea would be that these nine dimensions of consciousness are going to be flooding our world in 2011. So we're getting really close now. And the closer we get...
And that's only months away.
That's right. The closer we get, the more tense all of this is.
I had him on the show. Fascinating.
Oh, did you? Good.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Good.
And for the people that are listening, you know, we're talking about some of Barbara's other work, and if you go to the Just Energy Radio webpage and click on the page, Barbara's little individual page, it does have links to listen to the other shows that she was on. And then Carl Kalman, who we're also talking about, was on the show, and you can listen to his conversation about 2012 and the prophecies and all that good stuff. There. Put it all out there.
Good. You don't want anybody to be confused.
That's right.
Right, of course.
You know, what I think I hear you saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that one of the reasons that you would want to work with this energy is so that you could get your body familiar with the energy and the vibration, and it won't be so unfamiliar, complicated for you when it actually does hit.
Mm-hmm. Or put it in a simpler way. When I work with a theory, I pretty much find that only a small number of people will actually understand that theory. It's just like with Kalman. Only a small number of people will master what he's talking about. But a whole bunch of other people, the vast majority, get it in another way. So let me give you an example of how that could be. If we go up through the dimensions, when we're in the sixth dimension, we're in the geometrical realm and the realm of forms. When we go into the seventh dimension...
Hey, Barbara?
Yeah.
the music is going to be coming up here in one second.
Okay, so we know.
So maybe we can hold that to after the break. So just keep that in your head.
Yeah. So what we'll do is we'll look at how those higher dimensions actually would come through to a person who doesn't know it yet.
Okay. Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm Dr. Rita Louise. We're talking to Barbara Hanclow about her new book, Alchemy of the Nine Dimensions. Her website is hanclow2012.com. We'll be back, and I'll announce the winner of last week's Mind Yoga Question. And we'll be back after.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
To energy? Want to explore the world beyond the five senses? Looking for a new career as an alternative healthcare practitioner? Then the Institute of Applied Energetics, Medical Intuition, and Energy Medicine Training Programs may be right for you. Our comprehensive curriculum provides students with a deep understanding of how to detect, evaluate, and transform the subtle body, as well as techniques for correcting energetic imbalances that may underscore a person's ability to experience radiant health. So if you are sensitive to energy, contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Visit www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and start your new career today. How would you like to live long and enjoy great health? How about creating solid bones and whiter teeth? Strengthen your heart and eyes and have radiant, youthful-looking skin. There is an ancient health and longevity secret that has been used for millennia in Egypt, India, and China that can help you achieve this. For the first time in the modern world, Pearlseum brings this ancient wellness secret to you. For more information about Pearlseum, visit www.productsforthesoul.com. Before we get back to the show, I would like to thank all of you for tuning into Just Energy Radio. Many of the people I've helped over the years were listeners just like you. If you're at a junction in your life, don't stand alone at this important time. Call me or send me an email. We can set up a private consultation so that you too can experience health, healing, and wholeness in your life. To find out more about the services I offer, visit www.soulhealer.com.
Now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise, and as I said before the break, I'm going to announce the winner of last week's Mind Yoga Question. So this was the question. Many claim that this giant dinosaur-like beast roams the African Congo. Again, many claim that this giant dinosaur-like beast roams the African Congo. And the answer is the Moleke Mkembe. I can't even say this. But anyway, we did have a winner, and that is Derek Sparks. And he won a copy of A Course in Happiness by Marty Horowitz. And later on in the show, we'll have a new mind yoga question, and the winner of that question will win a copy of The Magician's Way by William Whitecloud. Anyway, let me get Barbara back on the air, and we can find out how we each can experience the higher dimensions as we move into them, right?
Okay. Yeah, so the question would be, even though I defined it all and all that kind of stuff, well, what would really happen to somebody who doesn't know anything? And, of course, all of this is based on the idea that what I'm describing is actually going to, like, flood reality. Okay, so as we know, sixth dimension is geometrical forms. And then the seventh dimension is the realm of sound. And in the Bible, for example, the teaching is that the Word of God created reality. So this is very much in tune with the Bible. Then the eighth dimension is divine consciousness. And somebody can call it God if they want to. That's okay with me. I don't like the word because of what Western religions have done to it, but that's okay. Then the ninth dimension is time contemplation and the Mayan calendar. So the issue would be, assuming that these levels are going to flood reality, what would that be like? And so let's go to the fifth dimension, where what will be happening in 2011 is people's hearts will just start opening. And I think everyone listening has had a heart opening. Well, imagine a heart opening that is just ongoing and starts to reconnect you with nature. And then as you're in a state of bliss with this heart opening, what happens is you start to really trip out on just the beauty of form. Maybe this is going to be with shells on the beach. Maybe this is going to be with sunflower seeds. It doesn't matter. But what happens is your innate understanding of those forms, which actually created you, start to be in connection with you. While this is going on, the music of the spheres is starting to play. And it's just imagine a world where there is a beautiful etherical music, that we can hear through the wind, through the trees, and through the rocks. And then as that's going on, we move into fusion with the divine, fusion with higher consciousness, and we start to trust, and we start to be in a state of grace. And then as we get in touch with all those levels of reality, we also start to understand where we came from. And so the ninth dimension is very interesting, because now that Dr. Kalaman has gotten the keys to the calendar, we can see that what the Mayan calendar really is it's a calendar that shows us the whole scope of evolution going back to the very beginning, which in this case is 16.4 billion years ago. So what it would be like, Rita, would be like having a sense of yourself as a dinosaur, and then having a sense of yourself as a creature first leaving the sea and then coming onto land, and then going back further and further, having a sense of being a hominid that finally can use its hands and start to become human. And in Native tradition, which of course is my background ultimately because I'm part Cherokee, the most fundamental issue for all of us is that humans will not heal themselves until they have their story. And so the idea here would be that the actual story of evolution and how we went through all of these billions of years to arrive at this moment now is like a point of revelation for people. And so that's how those levels could come in for people without knowing anything about the complex sciences that I'm presenting in Alchemy of Nine Dimensions. They're just there to inspire you and to give you ideas.
Where do you think, as a society, we are now?
We're at the worst point. In terms of time.
-1.
Well, we have to go to time acceleration because, as you know, I work very deeply with that model. And then also, time acceleration is my ninth dimension. I didn't know that when I got it from the Pleiadians back in. They just said it was Zolt'in, which is the Mayan calendar. But now that I understand that Kalaman's work is the key, then time acceleration is the whole, and resonation, is the whole key to all of these nine dimensions because that's the highest dimension. So if we turn around and go back to the Mayan code and Kalaman's research, we have to look into the previous underworlds. And remember, there are nine underworlds according to the Mayan calendar. The first one goes back to 16.4 billion years ago. But, of course, we can't go back there. So all we can do is go back to the more recent underworlds in order to look at what's going on now. The idea of Kalaman's theory is that each one of these nine underworlds has 13 days and nights. And so when you're in a particular cycle, you look at the day or night of that cycle, which happens to be, at the current moment, we are in the very middle of night six of the galactic underworld. Now, the galactic underworld started in 1999. It is the eighth time acceleration. And the idea would be that since 1999, we've been processing all of the other previous levels going back to the beginning of time. So the way we do this is we look we first of all identify that we're in the middle of night six of the galactic underworld, then we go back to the previous underworlds. And so if we go back to the 5,125-year-long underworld, which is the sixth underworld, we go back to the national underworld. And so the idea in the calendar is that civilizations began to formulate and develop 5,125 years ago, which we can see historically all over the planet. And so in that underworld, we are resonating with 1425 AD. 1425 AD is the plague, the 30 Years' War, the Inquisition, the fall of society, sort of mid-medieval society. The night six of the national underworld was an extremely difficult time for us as a species. Then if we go back to the underworld before the national, we get to the regional underworld. And the regional underworld is 100,000 years long. It's the Paleolithic period. And right now, according to night six of the regional underworld, we are resonating with 10,000 to 9,500 BC, and that was the period of the Great Cataclysm. So right now, in our current galactic underworld cycle, we're resonating with the Inquisition, the 30 Years' War, and the Black Plague, and then going back before that, we're resonating with the Great Cataclysm. But what you need to remember about this is that during the galactic underworld, each one of these days and nights is only 360 days long. And so we're already through half of it, and I think if you look at what's happening on the planet and how people are feeling, you can see why we feel the way we do. But this is all going to shift dramatically on November 3rd of this year. And it's already shifting now. As soon as you get to the midpoint, things start to shift and change and improve. So we're through the worst of it. And we're passing out of the worst of it, but we're still in the middle of the worst of it.
So we have a question from the chat room. Carol B. asks, how do the global elite remain so heartless if they've achieved mastery over the nine dimensions? I thought that was a pretty good one.
Great question, yeah. Remember that any technique that you master can be used for good or evil. And so, first of all, we hope that anyone who masters any technique, any energy or magical technique, is going to use it for the good of the planet rather than the negative aspects of the planet. The global elite are simply using magical techniques, including dimensional understanding, for very negative and evil purposes. And that's the truth. And the next question would be, what do we do about that? The global elite functions on secrecy. People don't know that they spend all their time doing magical rituals and studying esoteric things because they debunk astrology and they debunk all of the things that we're interested in. And so they make it look like we're stupid when in reality they use all that stuff. But if we could just wake up and realize what they're doing, they can't do it anymore because this stuff only works by means of secrecy. The best example of this would be Cardinal Ratzinger. And I refuse to call Cardinal Ratzinger Benedict XVI because I think he does not deserve that name. Every time a pope comes in, they take the name of someone that they admire. Well, I'm sorry, but this pope is not on that level. So as more people, for instance, in the last 6 months, according to my German students, 40% of the Catholics in Germany have walked out of the church because of the scandals in Germany. And that's a great example of how people can't get away with it anymore if people figure out what's going on.
Well, I haven't heard about those. You know, we have enough of our own, you know, to hear about dirt going on in other countries, too. Well, I guess they just wouldn't really put that out on the news.
Well, a lot of American Catholics have left, too. But, boy, you're getting into these deep, old 1,500-year medieval roots, you know, when the European Catholics start leaving en masse. And, of course, that's also the financial support of the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I have this question. I'm not quite sure how to phrase it. But with you're saying the 2011 date, so we're talking a year away, and we have to move through a lot of dimensions in a year or less.
Well, the idea is not so much moving through dimensions, Rita. It's more that the full dimensional form will start to vibrate and resonate in our reality. Because we don't move through the dimensions except when we just are in a workshop or we just understand them. The idea would be that all nine of them are going to flood the Earth. And so then, of course, I have to look back to the Mayan calendar again for timing. And so as far as I can see, first of all, we're in the middle of night six of the galactic underworld. Day seven of the galactic underworld, which started in 1999, begins November 3rd, which after all is 2010. So there's two things to look at. There's the 2011 issue, then there's also day seven. So in order to understand day seven, we have to understand what's been going on with the galactic underworld, which started in 1999. At this point, we can now see that the galactic underworld is all about the development of technology. If we go back to 1999 and Y2K and all that stuff that happened then. And if we go through the galactic underworld, we see this gradually increasing level of sophisticated technology. And then during day seven is when we get the fruits of the technology. So the way this looks to me would be that on November 3rd, 2010, in just a few months now, what's going to happen is the positive power of technology is going to take over our reality. And what that would be interconnection with each other and oneness, because what is happening as a result of the technology is people are becoming much more a part of each other's worlds. So that's one level. Then the next level that's going to be affecting us is we have one more time acceleration. In other words, there was a time acceleration in 1999, which caused things to go 20 times faster than they have been since 1755, and then going back since 3000 BC. Each one of these is shorter, and each one of these is going faster, and the last one begins in February 2011. And it goes through 2011. In other words, what Kalaman is saying is that we're going to be accelerating 20 times faster during 2011 than we have been since 1999, which is a mind-boggling idea. It's absolutely mind-boggling. Don't you agree?
It is mind-boggling, but then my sick and humorous mind goes, well, if we're vibrating so fast, you know, do I still need to diet, or will the pounds just shake right off of me?
You know, it's possible they will. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be so nice.
I know. I agree with you. I think everybody agrees with that idea. But what I, the only thing I can see or imagine would be a better word here, would be that in November we have a technological fusion which causes all of us to be more connected. And then in February, reality starts accelerating faster. And then going back to my earlier description on this program of what would it be like for somebody who didn't know anything to get in touch with these dimensions, well, I think the kind of description I gave there is what's going to be going on. And this is really new for me because I've just been creeping up on this stuff. I've been teaching it and understanding it as best I can myself. But I'm actually, you know, like here's something that gave me an idea, because before I got on the show, I went, okay, where are we going, 2011? I asked myself that question every day. Well, I was reading a book review of a book called Racing Toward Armageddon by Michael Bajan. He's one of the Holy Blood, Holy Grail authors. And so I said to myself, what are we doing? Are we racing toward Armageddon, or are we racing toward illumination and oneness? And obviously, I think that we're racing toward illumination. But the question is, what would illumination be like? And that's where my teaching comes in. That's where I've been doing everything I can to imagine what that might be like. And as I told you before, I think we're only reawakening something that we had before. In other words, I don't think it's normal for people on this planet to be this cut off from higher consciousness.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, it's built into us innately, and I feel like people were much more connected in the past. I mean, even when you think about, like, farmers, which isn't all that long ago, were much more connected to the earth and nature, or Native Americans when we first came over and took over, were much more connected to the world around us. I mean, at this point in time, you know, God, I lost my internet connection. You know, and I think that, you know, there's so much isolation going on and so much disconnect between people and our environment, mm-hmm. that why would we even think to connect with a higher source?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, plus, you know, the things that we eat, things that we do, you know, really interfere with our ability to have that connection.
Yeah, and like when I do time acceleration theory, then I just go back to 1425 AD to see what was going on. So I said to myself, okay, I can see how the Inquisition's playing out right now with the current Pope, and I can see the wars. But what I said to myself is, even though they tried to pull off swine flu, it didn't happen. So like my question was, where's the plague? And I don't know about you, but when I ask myself a direct question is usually when I get the answer. And so the piece mm-hmm. came back and said, you want to know what the current modern plague is? And I said, yes. And they said, it's the use of pharmaceuticals. They said, look, this is so, the peas really have a sense of humor. They said, look, mm-hmm. go back to the Middle Ages when everybody was getting the plague and nobody knew that fleas were biting them, right? That's the cause mm-hmm. of the plague, okay. Well, they said, okay, look at your world, and everybody's paying all of the money that they have to buy all of these pharmaceuticals, and it's killing them, but nobody's telling them the truth. And I went, well, that's an mm-hmm. interesting idea. In other words, people are really, really getting sick now because of taking all these drugs, and yet nobody has any idea that that's the cause of getting sick. And it is like the rats during the plague.
But also, you know, paying $3 for a pound of broccoli, and, you know, where you could buy like a whole carton of ramen noodles for $1.50 and
yeah.
feed, you know, a family of four. I mean, I think, you know, the things that people eat, you know, and what's just out there, you go to the supermarket and the healthy food areas are getting smaller and smaller, and the junk is just getting bigger and bigger, and I think we're just totally polluting ourselves.
But there's also a whole alternative movement in farming and healthy growing. And there's an issue now, definitely an issue now, of people starting to take responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as you know, more the younger generation. So many people now who are, you know, in their 20s and 30s are starting to take responsibilities for these levels. It's harder for people who are older, you know, who have always been able to just pop into the supermarket and everything was easy. But it mm-hmm. is changing. It really is changing, and I think it has to change. I think we have to go back. Regional farming, for example, shipping broccoli all over the place instead of growing it right in your own location is nuts.
I was in the supermarket the other day looking for a piece of fish. Actually, it was at Christmas because I was going to make some cioppino, which is a Italian
yes.
fish soup. Oh,
yeah,
I love
that
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed a piece of just like a heavy, you know, white fish to use for my soup base. And every single piece of fish that was in there was like, this one's from this country, and this one's from this country,
yeah,
and this one's from this country. And I'm like, God, don't we grow fish in the United States anymore?
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. It really is, and it has to change. It's absolutely untenable. You can't drive all this stuff around in great big trucks that are burning oil. All of that stuff has to change, and that stuff is changing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that it's so difficult to be in the middle of a field of rapid change. At least I think it is. I mean, it's extremely difficult.
Where do I want to go? I think one of the other things that you had mentioned before that I have been seeing is that I think people's hearts really are starting to open, or there's this huge awareness, or more of an awareness, that if they're not opening, that they're recognizing that they're closed
mm-hmm.
or that there's an issue going on, and they're looking to do that. And as you said, and I totally believe, you know, without the heart opening, you can't really move higher.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to astrology, because, of course, the other issue here is astrology. And in my case, once I adopted Carl Kalman's time acceleration theory, then from the point of view of astrology, as far as I'm concerned, nothing that he's saying could be true unless the astrology shows that it could happen. So then what I entered into was a very, very deep analysis of all of the astrological transits, especially the last 13, 14 years, to see whether the transits are showing that what these things seem to do, the things that need to come forth, is it really possible? Because the basic premise of astrology is that astrology really affects our species, and the astrological aspects are what cause us to move in certain directions. And so during the last 2 to 3 years, and for the next year, we've been in the middle of some amazing conjunctions between Neptune, the planet of access to spirit, and then Chiron, which is a little body that orbits between Saturn and Uranus, that was discovered in 1977. And Chiron rules the wounded healer complex. Chiron rules the issue of each one of us going to the deepest level of wounding in our consciousness, being able to go to that deep wound so that we can free ourselves. Because we're all like onions with all these layers of trauma complexes on top of each other. And Chiron is that issue of getting to the very core of that onion. So because these two planets have been conjunct for the last couple of years and for the next year, the issue of people going into the deepest level of healing and wounding is being combined with spiritual access with Neptune. And so what's been happening for people is they've been going deep inside to heal something, and then when they finally get there, they experience illumination and they feel disoriented. And then they come out of illumination and they have a different view of the world, because once you've experienced illumination, you see more. So they go back into the world and they see more in their private life and in the general collective, and then they start to move into another level of wounding that's blocking them. And this transit has just been incredible. It's been one of the most alchemical processes that I've ever observed. So the astrology's there. I could give you many more examples, but that's the one that has been the toughest for people. Because you're going for the pain, and then you break through, and you wake up, and then you just go right back into the pain again. Do you know what I mean about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I totally know what you mean. And I always love talking to you, but Barbara, we have like 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any last little piece of advice, information that you would like to share with the listeners, maybe a first step in how they can start accessing these other dimensions, anything?
I think what's most helpful to people right now is to recognize that the level of change that we're in the middle of involves letting go of a lot of dysfunctional structures and realities. And so I think if we can just surrender to the idea that we really are moving someplace and just allow the process, I think people will do better with this.
Great, great. And the new book, The Alchemy of the Nine-Dimensional, it's not the new book, it's the new and improved copy of The Alchemy of the Nine Dimensions. I'm going to make the assumption it's available Amazon, your local bookstore, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes, everywhere. Yeah.
And so you talked some about the activation. If people were interested in getting more information about that, where would they go to find that out?
Go to our website, which is handclow2012.com. And then the best thing about handclow2012.com is I'm doing free astrology. I'm doing new moon analysis and equinoxes and solstices. And the website is actually a guide for how to go through our troubled times month by month. And I'm doing it for free because I think things have gotten to be so difficult. So go to it for that. And there's workshop information, book information, all that stuff is there too.
Excellent. Well, the music's going to come up in 1 second. So, Barbara, again, thank you for sharing your wisdom with the listeners. I always love having you on. You always have so much to talk about.
Oh, we have.
And it never seems like we have enough time.
Yes, thank you, Rita.
All right. Bye, Barbara, and we will talk again, I'm sure. That's Barbara Hanclow. Her book is Alchemy of Nine Dimensions. Her website is Hanclow 2012. I'm Dr. Rita Louise, and we'll be back with Suzanne Northrup after these words from our sponsors.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
Deep inside yourself and venture into the realm of the unconscious mind with my Meditating on the Kabbalah guided imagery audio CDs. Discover who you are and what you want in life. Meditating on the Kabbalah can help you to open, clear, and revitalize the energetic pathways of your subtle being. They will support you in your spiritual quest by helping you to access the profound insights and inner guidance you need as you work in alignment with your highest good. Let them help you to release negative thoughts and emotions and clear away any limitations that may be keeping you from experiencing your full potential. Walk down the path to health, healing, understanding, and enlightenment with Meditating on the Kabbalah. Order your copy today at www.soulhealer.com. That's right, that's www.soulhealer.com.
Move past the crossroads in your life and discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at soulhealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationship, naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you. Bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit soulhealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming of.
Start the year off right by visiting livinggrocery.com. Experience the miracle of real nutrition as it helps you to lose weight and improve your overall health. Don't mess with pills or capsules. We provide the highest quality all-natural organic foods that come ready to eat. And best of all, it's delivered straight to your door. Visit livinggrocery.com now and experience your own amazing transformation.